Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/Zabe today. Tonight's episode of Steakhouse Confidential was recorded live at DC Prime Steaks and Seafood in Ashburn, Virginia. Independently owned and operated, DC Prime serves only USDA Prime beef, which is the top 1% of all the beef in the U.S. Chef Brad Wiedemann comes from the Art Institute of Atlanta with a degree in culinary arts, and his creations include the barbecue spice jumbo shrimp appetizer, my favorite, along with succulent tomahawk bone-in ribeyes with a dozen other fresh cuts of meat. Fresh fish, lobster, crab, scallops, and more. Visit dcprimesteaks.com today or call them at 703-840-2099 for your reservation. Proud home of Steakhouse Confidential, where the steaks are juicy and the stories even juicier.
Right. Same thing for you, Bell. Okay, very good.
All right,
good. All right, Hatch, you're late. What's the story?
Kids, man. You know, I'm back by myself again, so.
By the way, Sheehan was asking about you. He's looking forward to seeing you, but he was asking, how's my man Hatch doing?
I'm doing good.
Sheriff.
Yeah, hanging in there.
You were at the gym, probably, not just talking.
No.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. First of all, I met Bao in the parking lot.
Okay,
and
good.
I said, oh, you play golf with Hatch? And he goes, nah, I know him from the gym. Yep. I go, oh, okay, you work out together. And Bao says, yeah, Hatch walks around pretending he's doing something. Is that right, Bao?
We had this argument the other day, actually.
We sure did. And I told his wife this morning, because she usually comes in the morning, and I told him, I said, hey, next time you see your husband, tell him how hard I work out, because you see me work out hard all the time. She goes, all right, I'll tell him.
I've never seen you sweat, bro.
Bao, he's got to be doing something. Look, he's a 50-year-old man who still looks like he could play.
Yeah.
That's right.
Kind of.
Good shape.
Few players a game. Right.
One.
53. You got one good play in you.
One.
Okay. I also did not know that you guys are Chantilly guys.
That's
now,
right.
Now, from the same – no, he's younger. Bao,
yeah.
You're younger.
Yeah, I graduated Chantilly in 97.
And I'm 86.
Okay.
Ooh.
And did you
– I remember going to watch him play in the playoffs.
Okay.
When he was in high school.
Oh, okay. So you went back to the Chantilly playoffs.
We won the state championship my senior year.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. What level was it, state championship?
The big schools.
The big school, yeah.
Division six.
The Division six, the highest one.
Yeah, we played George Washington of Danville in the championship game. The semifinal game, we played Kickatan. They play like Hampton and those guys down there. And in the regional game, we played Robinson.
Okay.
And I think the year after we won it, Robinson actually won the state championship.
Okay. Yeah. Is there like some secret Chantilly football society? Do you have a handshake, a clubhouse you hang out with?
Nah.
How many pros have been produced
out
of Chantilly?
Football?
Yeah.
Probably just a handful. There's guys.
Three or four.
Yeah. There's guys.
Yeah.
So you made the league through Penn State. Penn State played there for 4 years.
Yes, sir.
You played for the great Joe Paterno.
Joe Pa.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
Do we have time tonight to get into that?
We definitely can. I mean, look, that's Joe. To me, that's Joe Pa. I have a different relationship with him than probably other people do, obviously. But
right.
I'm always going to love Joe Pa. And it's complicated, just like a lot of things are.
It is complicated.
And I understand it.
There's a podcast out, a guy by the name of John Ziegler, who's convinced that not only did Joe Pa get railroad. He got screwed in this whole deal. It was a bad deal that went down. But he thinks Hatch Sandusky is innocent.
Ooh.
That's a big one right there.
Yeah, that's
But he's devoted a lot of time investigating, talking to people. He smuggled a pen into the jailhouse to interview. He smuggled a recorder in a pen to interview Sandusky in jail. Anyway, yeah, that's a whole different deal. You love playing at Penn State, I trust. Everyone who goes there. I got a nephew who goes to Penn State.
Okay.
Loves it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat it. The atmosphere. I mean, you're playing in front of 100,000 people every week.
Whiteouts.
I mean,
crazy.
Just the best competition. I mean, yeah, you're always gonna have a chance to be in the top five of the country every single year. There's always a chance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's nothing better in my estimation.
And you were drafted by the Packers in what round?
The third round. I believe I was picked number 72, early third round. So, first or second pick in the third round. So, it was early.
All right. Hatch got his Lambeau Field indoctrination this year with me. How
sure
was that?
It was good.
Fun.
Yeah. I liked it.
What'd
it was on
think?
My bucket
you
list.
Liked
so
it.
I was on my bucket list, so I made it.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I forget which game was that, by the way.
Washington.
It was the command.
Command.
No, it was the
football
team.
Oh, I didn't tell you the story. So, you know how they have those little pop-up tents where you can, like, buy paraphernalia?
Activations, yeah.
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 So, I'm standing in one, and I see this smoking hot girl keeps looking at me. So I'm like, whatever. So I'm just doing my thing. And then she comes up to me. She goes,
She thought you were Jason Taylor of the Dolphins.
No, she thought I was Hootie and the Blowfish, dude.
Ooh.
Why don't you go with that? Lean into that, bro.
She goes,
you could be
I thought you were Hootie. Darius Rucker. And she goes, I had to get closer to see if that was you, if it was him.
You do have, you have strong Darius Rucker vibes. You grew a goatee. And if you carried a guitar around, I'm telling you, bro, you'd be cleaning it up with the ladies. Come
yeah.
on,
is Darius Rucker bald?
Yes.
I think
is
he
it?
Is.
I believe
yeah.
so now. Gorgie, Ambassador of the Stars. Gorgie's here. He doesn't have a headset on. Go ahead and call it up. Be our information guy. Give me an image search of Darius Rucker. We'll put it up next to Hatch.
Doesn't look as good as me.
Oh, boy.
I love the confidence.
That's right.
See, that's what you have to have as a ball player,
that's
as an
right.
NFL player.
So what happened after she realized it wasn't Darius Rucker?
She just giggled
away.
And was like, oh, sorry. And I was like, yeah. I said, I've heard that before.
You were waiting in line at a concession stand.
To buy a hat.
Yeah, Darius Rucker don't do that. Darius Rucker's got a tour bus out back.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got security.
That's not on.
Yeah, look at that.
Absolutely, man.
Look at that.
That is you, dude.
You just
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
All right, so you make it to the Packers. You were drafted by Ted Thompson, and you played under Mike Sherman?
Played under Mike Sherman, but I believe
Holmgren last year?
No. It was Sherman.
Okay.
But I think I was Ron Wolf's last class.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah. Yeah, we were his last class.
Right. He found you. When did you think, like, I'm going to the league?
For me, it just kind of happened. One of the issues with me was that I didn't start until my senior year, but I played a lot And so all the questioning was like, why didn't you start? Why didn't you start? And there was no good answer because I played all the time, and oftentimes I finished the games.
Right.
So going into my senior year, just all of a sudden, I just was getting all this attention. And, I mean, I didn't understand it, but what it came down to was I was a six-foot corner that ran a 4.4. I was long, athletic. Exactly. And it was just at that time, like, now you see the corners, they're like 6'3", 6'4", running 4.4s.
Are they all that big?
They're getting there. Yeah, like, Jalen Ramsey's big.
Yeah, and the one coming out of Cincinnati, Sauce Gardner.
They're big boys. 6'3".
He's going to be the first one. I watched him play. He shut down Jameson Williams, the guy at Alabama, shut him down.
Yeah. No, it was big time.
Yeah, they're big boys. And then I played with a guy in San Diego, Antonio Cromartie, who was
He's a freak.
I mean, I'm talking about 6'3 and running a 4.3. He ran a 4.3 at the combine like 6 months after tearing his ACL. Like it was something that insane. So, you know, those are the guys they had now. So for me, I believe it was my size that really was what, and just, you know, at that being the size I was and being able to move, I got a lot of attention.
So you were the Packers from what year to what year?
So I was drafted in 01 and my last year was 2004. So yeah, so I signed, my first year in San Diego was 2005.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of you got out of there right before they started the transition from Favre to Rodgers.
Well, no, because I believe Brett Favre played for another – so
– No, he went till 08, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was like 2008. Yeah. He played for a long time after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So give me a Favre story from your time in Green Bay. I bet there's a million of them.
So it's interesting because, you know, by the time I got to Green Bay, like, Brett Favre was a god. Like, I mean, it was to the point where Brett Favre – I don't even know if I should be saying this, but he dressed in a separate locker room than everybody else. So there were
really?
In our locker room, there was a coach's locker room. And so
how did you feel about that as a player? You're like, I mean, he's great, but fuck it. This is a team.
Nah, it was Brett Favre. It was Brett Favre. So the coach's locker room was like the assistant coaches. Their locker room was right next to ours. And like Brett Favre was, you know, he got dressed in their locker room, but at the same time, like he was one of us. So I remember one day I had an unusually bad game. And so, like, I was walking down the hallway on, like, the Monday morning after that game and, like, just really feeling down that day. And Brett, like, to me, I didn't even know Brett Favre at that point even knew who I was. I was just a young kid just trying to figure out this whole NFL thing. But he just walked up to me and was like, look, man, you got to keep your head up and keep playing. Like, we need you. And, like, when Brett Favre – just comes up to you just like unsolicited.
And that's big, right?
Because he could tell like I was feeling bad about, you know, having a bad game.
He just sensed it.
Right. He sensed it and just.
He had that quarterback sense of a freshly roasted DB.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Hatcher? A smell you knew well.
That's right.
Hey, if you're a DB, you know that smell,
freshly
man.
Freshly roasted. Yeah.
There's no DB.
DB
that doesn't know that smell. If you don't know that smell, that means you're not doing anything. You're not near the ball.
That's right.
You're not doing nothing.
That's right.
Get burned.
Yeah.
So.
That's like you got to have a very short memory. How did you develop a short memory as a DB?
I mean, it's like a callus, man. When you're young in the NFL, it's like you have a target on your back. You might as well be running around in the red jersey.
Really?
They are going to find you, and they are going to
– no hiding, huh?
They seek you out, right? And so I was playing with I don't know if you know these guys, Mike McKenzie, Al Harris.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So they were seeking me out. So it was just like you have to grow up, like, really fast.
Were you there for the Al Harris-Seattle playoff game?
Yeah, I was on the field. That was the old –
You were on the field. We're going to get the ball,
and
we're going to
score. Yeah.
Do you remember that, Hatch?
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, that's a bad thing to say.
You dumb
dumb. And he threw the interception. Goodbye.
And Al Harris is putting the ball up. He's like, yep, we're going.
But do y'all know what happened next week?
I don't remember. What happened next week?
Was that the Niner game?
No. Philadelphia.
Oh,
fourth down and 26.
I was
fourth
at that game. I was at that game. Didn't the ball like barely go over your hand?
Over my hand. Well, it was so.
Oh boy, here we go.
I was at that game.
Yeah, there's a lot that went into that play. There were just people out of position.
Okay, let's walk through it. All right, this is one of the most infamous plays in Packer history.
Yeah, so
still spit out of fans' mouths.
Really,
like fourth and 26.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Bow, the game was won. Nobody converts 4th and 26.
No.
And Sherman called a prevent D, did he not?
He did. I mean, and we had been blitzing, but it wasn't – the defense was the right defense. So
you only rushed three guys.
Yeah, the defense was the right defense. There was the and our pass rush, our front guys were putting pressure on McNabb the whole day.
Okay.
The defense was the right defense.
The defense was okay.
We were just –
So what happened?
We were misaligned in the back end. So in the secondary on third down or any – third down, fourth down, they teach the underneath people, which are your nickel back and your dime backers, you get back to the sticks first,
right,
and then you play up from there. Where so I was the dime, I'm at the sticks. Our mic backer and our nickel back were playing at the line of scrimmage. So what happens is when Freddie, I forget his name, we called him
Freddie Mitchell.
X. Yeah, when he cleared the nickel back, you can only imagine the void that was there between he and the safety because – the nickel back is actually supposed to be right back where the safety was.
Uh-oh.
And so they created a void.
Why was the nickel back up on the line?
Man, it's the playoffs. There's a lot going on. There's pressure. It's loud. Like, you don't know the kind of pressure in those games until you're in it, until
right.
you're doing it. And right. sometimes, like, you get zoned in, and it's just there's a lot going on, and it just happened. He wasn't the only one. There were two of them up there, and I remember I get back to the locker room after the game, and the DB coach came up to me and was like, what was he doing at the line of scrimmage? Like, he knew that was it. That was.
And you're like, hey, man, I was at my position.
But look, man,
at
the end of the day, they go down and score a touchdown. But, I mean, we had chances. We went into overtime.
That is true.
Yeah.
And then Favre threw a balloon ball.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the just a straight up in the air.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I'm not sure what he was doing on that one, but yeah, it was.
And it was cold that day too.
Yes,
it was kind of cold.
So you were there?
I was there.
What were you doing there? Chasing the girl?
Yep.
Oh, how about that?
A chick from Philly, and then Harbaugh was there, and you know Harbaugh used to be my coach at Cincinnati.
John Harbaugh.
Yep.
Right. Mm. The sane Harbaugh.
So I got tickets from him.
The less objectionable.
I got tickets from him.
Harbaugh.
And then that's how I got in the game.
He's a good
I drove
coach.
Up to Philly, yeah.
So he coached you?
At Cincinnati.
He
was an assistant coach at Cincinnati when I was there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's a good coach.
So you went on Bow to play at San Diego for how many years after that?
So I played for another 2 years in San Diego.
Okay. 8 years in the league.
Yeah. So
is that enough for a pension?
Oh, yeah. So pension Sweet. Happens after 3.5. So at that point, it just depends on how much they're adding on.
Okay.
Yeah. So
And
yeah.
physically, how are you?
I mean, there's mornings, you know, you get up and there's aches.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm in better shape than probably like a lot of – I mean, I've seen some of my guys that they're not moving too well. So, I knock on wood. I pray. And
no concussions?
I had a couple of concussions, yeah, but it's not. But I was
nothing that
right. No lingering effects from concussions. I would say
right.
that.
Okay.
And
far as your wheels, your hips, your knees,
yeah, everything
your ankles,
should be good. Yeah, everything's good.
It's all good. I mean, so you 8 years in the league, probably made some nice coins. Did you get a good second contract?
It was a decent second contract.
Decent second contract.
Yeah. Okay. San Diego.
Good.
Now, when's the last time you've been back to Green Bay?
Man, I still. It's been a very long time. But it's funny because they all – like I have a couple – one of the – Tony Fisher, who was a running back when I was there, he is like the community relations guy. And so he's the one that kind of like if guys want to come back, he makes sure everybody gets tickets. And, I was in contact with him. I just haven't gone – whenever
well,
I want to go back.
How about this coming year?
Anytime.
Our station up there, 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee, just got the rights to the Packers.
Okay.
So we'll be doing stuff with them. Hatcher, you're welcome for a comeback if you want. Gorgie wants to come. He's never been. So,
because
yeah.
when we were there, they announced a couple of players, old players. Remember they announced that punter and before the game started.
Was it before the game?
Yeah, it was right before the game started. And they came out on the field. It was a couple guys that had
really?
Played there before. They're like, yeah, we want to welcome back. Blah, blah, blah. They named, like, three guys, and they came out, Wade.
There must have been some sort of, like, there must have been something going on. Usually the guys,
yeah.
usually there's a good number of guys. They're just on the sideline, and you wouldn't even notice. It's same thing with Penn State. They put us on the sideline. You wouldn't even notice.
Right.
That
yeah.
Right.
So, by
went,
the way,
yeah.
I was at our, this past weekend, I was at the University of Cincinnati football alumni golf tournament.
Oh, really?
And guess
Very
who
nice.
Showed up?
Is he a former Bearcat of some note?
Yes, he is.
Has he played in the league?
Yes, he does.
Offense or defense?
Offense.
Kelsey. White guy or black guy?
He named him.
Okay, Kelsey.
Yeah, so Kelsey came back.
How was
there.
He?
Good guy. He knows, me and him know, I have a buddy that played for the Chiefs for like 8 years, and he does the pregame.
Okay.
So he knows him. So we talk about him.
I'm dying to talk wideouts with you guys, both Devontae and Tyreek, on the move this offseason. Hold that thought. We're going to eat our dinner here at DC Prime. Looking forward to it. Delicious meals. Come on down. Book your reservation at DC Prime. There is a commander near us. I don't want to say who it is, but it rhymes with Jonathan Allen. Oh, wait, that's not rhyming right there. That guy's a hell of a player, and his teammate, number 99, needs to get it going this year.
Well, who was he fighting with?
Oh, we'll talk about that after the break. How about that?
All right.
All right.
Yep.
All right. I tell you what, I think Gorgie went to the Walmart of bad takes and ordered four giant boxes of them. And he's just uncorking them one after another.
Yeah.
Gorgie, what are you on tonight? You're on just confidence and red wine right now. I love it. What do you want exactly?
Whatever you want, I got
it. All right, so I want to talk Tiger Woods for a second.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let's go here. I'm blown away that he's going to probably play, as people listen to this podcast, today, Thursday, in the Masters. I think he's going to make the cut. I don't think he's going to win, Hatch. But I think he's going to be in the mix, sort of, in the lurking 10 to 15 range.
I agree. If he can have a good first day, but they made a point today. He's only, of all the Masters he's played, only two times he's shot under 70 in the first round.
I know. He doesn't come out of the gate quick.
He doesn't come out of the gate quick.
Right.
So I think because of his condition, he's going to need to come out of the gate quick.
Bow, what do you think?
So I'm going to go against you guys on this one. I love Tiger Woods. That's my guy. He's the reason why I started playing golf.
Nice.
But based on just that course, the fact that he has to walk, how hilly it is, I saw him limping around.
You don't think he's sandbagging just a little bit? Part of me thinks he's been sandbagging us about that leg.
Man, I saw that car. I saw the car. That car was that accident. Look, if he does it, if he makes it, look, all power to him. But for me, he's not playing the weekend.
He's not going to make the cut.
Nah, he's not playing the weekend. So now, matter of fact, I would be surprised if he played on Thursday and came back out on Friday.
Okay. So when you started taking up golf, and you said Tiger Woods is part of the main reason why, what was it about him that made you say, hey, you know what, I want to try this?
It was just like, you know, if you see someone that looks like you, and then all of a sudden, like, all the Nikes, like, my first set, so playing NFL, I had a Nike contract. So they would give us, like, I think I had, like, $15,000 to spend every year.
Right.
Where I could just, you know, order stuff off out of a catalog. And, like, the year I started playing golf, like, I ordered all this Nike stuff. And we all know, like, the Nike equipment wasn't great.
Right.
But Hatcher played it.
I had, like, the Sasquatch driver.
Yeah, Hatcher had that.
I had that driver.
You had that junk,
terrible.
Junk Nike shit.
It sounded like a car accident every time you hit it. But it was just like.
Sounded like an empty trash can.
Right. But it was like, man, Tiger Woods uses this stuff. And, like, you know, it was just something about it. It was just his energy, the way you would watch and you would just see the crowds following this guy around. And it was just, he was everything. He was everything.
He was the first alpha athlete to play golf.
Yes.
And that appealed to a lot of guys who were like, hey, let me check this out.
Right.
There's a lot of ex-NFLers, though, that play golf and play golf fanatically.
Yeah.
Know?
I mean, look, not even ex-NFL players. Like, I mean, I was telling you the story. Like, these guys, the kickers and the punters, during training camp, we would have our first practice. Between the first practice and the second practice, they would go out and play nine. And since they weren't doing anything, they'd be back at practice.
Yeah.
We'd practice, and then they would go back and play another nine afterwards because they didn't have meetings. Like, they're playing nonstop quarterbacks.
That's why they're so good. Yeah.
They're really good at golf. I mean, guys.
That's why the players don't like the kickers because you see them doing that stuff.
Right. I mean, you do see it, but it's a function of their free time. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But guys really, really love it. I mean, people that you wouldn't even expect to play golf play a lot of golf.
We got to play this summer. I know, Bao, you say you don't play as much anymore. How many rounds a year?
So up until my two-year-old was born, I mean, I played every weekend, every Sunday over at Westfields. I mean, I played a lot. But since he was born, like, I think I've played once or twice.
That's no excuse.
It kind of
is. All of us know it's a bad excuse, though. All of us here have kids and a family. And it's a convenient thing to go, I can't, but you got to get away.
That's true.
You got to get away for your own mental health.
That's
to be out
true.
There. You got to play. Have you played with Hatch?
I haven't.
No, we haven't. We'll have to play.
We'll get out there.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
All right, let me give you some book of Hatch out there on the golf course. Hatcher believes that if a crow caws within any 5 seconds of your swing,
oh, wow.
Bad luck and a shank-a-lank is coming.
Yep, and it happens every time.
Wow.
And you've got rabbit ears for those crows. You're like, what was that?
So what's your handicap?
I love to talk when I play, too.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What's your handicap?
6.8.
Ooh, so you can play.
Yeah.
Wow, 6. How'd 20. It get that low?
Wow. Man, I shot – did I tell you what I did the other day?
No.
So I hadn't played for like 2 – because, you know, I don't play when it's cold.
So or wet.
Or wet.
Or windy.
So I went out there.
Or if there's bugs. Or too humid.
That's right. So I went out there about 3 weeks ago, and I played at Lansdowne.
Yep.
I was 2 over going into 16.
Oh.
And I was on RTJ, so 16 is the par 5, the short par 5.
Yeah.
Bombed it down the middle, got greedy, and said, I'm getting up there in 2. Hit a shot. It was bad, but it wasn't too bad. So it went to the right. So I was just off. I was about 60 yards from the green, off to the right where the woods are.
Yeah.
But I was just on the good side.
Can you fast forward to the 9? Like, I know this ends with, and I took a 9.
Double bogey.
Okay.
No, sorry. Bogey 16, 17 to 200 over water, double bogey. Bogey 18.
See, Bal, that's the mental part of golf.
Ooh, yeah, man.
That's the mental part.
It's a very mental game.
Oh, it's so mental. You know, these other sports, you can delve into the quick pace of the game and not think, right? It's when you start thinking. I bet you as a corner when you played, you wanted to know what you're doing and know what the coverage is. But after that, you just wanted to react. Right,
and that's the same thing with, like, you know, quarterbacks in the two-minute drill. Like, you see a quarterback that's been struggling the whole game, but then all of a sudden you put them in that two-minute drill, and they take their team right down the field because it's the idea that you're not thinking about it. It's just flowing. You're just playing. You're reacting. And,
right.
And that's
right.
With anything, right?
If
our mind is usually our biggest weakness, but if we can eliminate that, the mind, the thoughts, then we're really
It's like playing as a receiver. I never thought about running 15 yards and running an in route. I knew in my mind when I got to 15 yards
really?
I needed to cut inside.
You weren't looking at hash marks.
Oh, I'm right at 15 yards. You just knew running from so many repetitions of doing it over and over and over again. It was just ingrained that you knew how many steps and how quickly you could get to 15 yards.
It helps in the 2-minute drill. Bow when defense is placed soft. Then the quarterback's like, oh, this is great. Pitch, catch.
But also, like, the closest example in, like, team sports to golf would be, like, the wide-open jump shot. Like, usually a guy is wide open, they'll miss.
Or hatch.
Right.
The pass.
Right. Wide open.
Right.
It's unbelievable. I see some of the best receivers in the NFL drop stone-cold wide open passes.
But they catch the ball where there's three people hanging all over them, right? Because you're not thinking about it. Like, your concentration is there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I want to ask about the receivers. Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill both moved this offseason. I think a lot of people didn't see either one coming, but certainly the Tyreek one was more shocking. Your thoughts on both guys, if you could get either one right now based on age, injury history, what they do on the field, forget what they would cost, but just, you could just pick one. Who would it be, Bal? Tyreek or Devontae?
I'm biased. I'm Devontae all day.
Okay.
All day, every day. Because? For me, he's a more pure wide receiver. Like, he can get open. Like, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I've seen Devontae play well with I think there was a couple years ago where Rodgers has gotten hurt against the Vikings, and I don't even know who the quarterback came in there, but Devontae still touchdowns and like having
Brett Hundley.
Having like 10 catch games. I don't know.
Devontae is amazing.
Yeah, he's something else.
He's more of a pure receiver.
Right, they're two different things.
His release off the line of scrimmage and his footwork is absurd.
Right, but also
he can shake basically anybody at the line of scrimmage.
But I think also not having him there might actually make Rodgers a little bit better. Because if you remember the playoff game, there were times where other receivers were open.
Oh, all he did was look for
Devontae. And he was forcing it to Devontae. Now if he's forced to, you know, really play the field, I think he's actually better that way, where you don't have that security blanket where you're constantly looking for Devontae.
Yeah, well, they're hoping so because they got Alan Lazard and nothing. Right. Behind him right now. And so the Packer apologists are like, well, there's no games until September. I said, yeah, but that time will pass. You got to get somebody.
Leroy Butler thinks they're going to make a trade.
Okay,
I have the opposite feeling about that. Quarterbacks need a security blanket.
Yes.
And when they feel comfortable with a receiver in times that are rough, they're going to go to them because they know exactly where they're going to be.
Right.
They trust them.
Yeah,
and that's a big thing with a quarterback and receiver. A quarterback has to have trust in you that you're going to be where you're supposed to be,
right?
And you're going to run the route at the right depth,
right?
And you're going to do everything I need you to do
and catch the fucking ball.
All right. So
at the end of the day,
I understand what you're saying there, but let's look at it this way. Let's dig a little bit deeper. Tua needs a security blanket. Wentz needs a security blanket. Rodgers doesn't need a security blanket. Mahomes doesn't need a security blanket because they are the security blanket.
You don't think Tyreek was a bit of a security blanket?
No.
Travis Kelce is a security blanket. Yes,
and you know what?
Security blanket.
Travis Kelce is going to have a heck of a time this year, even getting open. Because what Tyreek Hill does
is he stretches and
just makes the field bigger.
Right.
I bought a T-shirt with a saying, which became my new favorite saying, is Tyreek down there somewhere.
Right. Right.
Pretty much Mahomes would run around and he'd just yeet it downfield because Tyreek was down there somewhere.
I think the Chiefs are going to heck of a time moving the ball.
So that trade, what do you make of that, pal? I mean, why would the Chiefs get out of that? I guess he was going to be very expensive.
Yeah,
and they got a lot in return. I was shocked by that.
It's all about the money. I think a lot of people are looking at it from the on-field perspective. But, I mean, football players are assets. And if you can move an asset and get assets back, now obviously, like, they have to take those draft picks and those assets they receive and do something with them. But I mean, same thing with what I feel with the Packers. Like, I love Davante Adams. He, to me, is the best receiver in the league. But if we can take those picks and what we got and like and bolster our team, like, I'm all for it.
What about this for a theory? So the Chiefs are just sitting there. They see Davante. The Packers can't re-sign him because he digs in. He knows what he's worth, and he's like, fine, franchise me. I don't care. I won't show up to camp. It'll be a pain in the ass. I'll still get all my money. You're stuck. I'm not stuck. And so then the Packers have to say, okay, we got to get rid of him and get the picks. Didn't the Chiefs then look at Tyreek and say, you know, we're in the same boat. This is going to happen to us.
Well, right. Based on
and
what
that might have prompted the trade.
Well, based on what Andy Reid said, he said, hey, we offered him, and it got to a point where it was not good for us.
Right. Sort of like with Davante. Davante turned down multiple offers.
Yeah, they wanted it. They wanted to give him the money. But as a fan, as a Packer fan, I'm glad that they didn't do it. I'm glad that they didn't do it. Because all of you so we're going back into the season with the exact same formula that we had last year, the past 2 years, right? Why not switch something up?
I guess so. But talent's talent. Good players are good players.
It is, but they come and go.
It had to happen. Like, at the end of the day, I, as a Packer fan, as a stockholder now, I bought the $330 piece of worthless paper to frame.
All right.
Yeah, Gorgie's like, you're not a Commander fan anymore? I never was a Commander fan. Sorry, buddy. This guy's a Commander fan. Says the team is on the way up, the Commanders. Ticking up. Trending upwards. So, I just said, look, they had to do it because they weren't going to be able to afford him. So you got to turn the page and move on. But man, what a talent! I'm happy for him playing with Carr in Vegas. I think he'll be sick for Vegas. I think Vegas' offense is going to be sick with him, with Waller, if he bounces back, kind of had a down year, and with Jacobs.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a team right there. With Renfro, the little whip-whack guy, pain in the ass, the new Wes Welker or Edelman.
And their defense.
They have pass rusher, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Max Crosby.
Yeah.
Sick.
But they also from the Cardinals.
Oh, Chandler Jones.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to be good.
That's
why I think the Chiefs are going to have a tough time.
Yeah, we'll see. One sleeper in the draft, are you a big draft, Nick?
I'm not a draft. Being someone that kind of played, I've seen those guys come and go, so –
You don't play that game?
Nah.
I don't get into it beforehand. I get into it after it. I'm like, okay, once the teams pick who they pick, then I'll be like, who is this guy? Right. How good is he?
You still got to play.
Yeah, because doing it ahead of time, it's all wrong. You don't know where these guys are going.
You have no idea.
What about you, Hatch? Give me a guy for the draft.
I think that
you love Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner's going to do well.
Sick. Yeah.
But
what about Desmond Ridder?
Desmond Ridder needs to sit for a couple years.
Okay. Couple years.
Ain't
nobody got time for that.
Nobody.
You know what? If he gets drafted in the second round, they will. Now, I just am afraid he's going to be too much like Love.
Oh, really?
If they stick him
right
in
there. Jordan Love.
Yeah.
See, I feel bad.
Kind of the same.
I feel bad for Jordan Love. I'm surprised he hasn't demanded a trade yet. He's going to have three. Who's going to take him?
Yeah.
The NFL is quarterback starved. Someone's going to take
him. For the right price. I think it's in his right. I would not criticize him at all if he said, I want to trade, because he's going to have 3 years of his career flushed on the bench.
Rodgers sat for
three more years.
Yeah, and Rodgers is the last guy to do that. I think the league has changed, Bow, in that you don't sit for 3 years. Things move too quick. Yeah. We'll see.
Look, if a team can afford to sit their guy, that's usually, for me, that's the best thing for him.
Right.
But for how long?
So I think
some
3 years is probably a little bit drastic. Okay. That's probably a little drastic.
Now, my sleeper is that receiver from North Dakota State. 6'3".
I'm not a draft pick. I don't know.
Ran a 4.3 something 40.
Okay.
And they have him projected as one of the top five receivers. But I think that he's going to be pretty good.
All right. Last thing. And we had a great meal here at DC Prime. Thank you to Rick Crow, our host, Restaurateur to the Stars. Gorgie, this guy's killing it. He's got a new place here in Ashburn, just up the road, one exit up. Bourbon Barbecue, I believe it is. We should do a show from up there. Let's go. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, thank you, Rick Crow. Steak was great. Seafood was great. It was all great. Last thing, Will Smith. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm just going to sit there.
That was wrong.
What
was wrong?
And the
reason why I say it was wrong is because...
Who was wrong? Chris Rock?
No, Will Smith was wrong.
Okay.
And the reason why I say it was wrong, and this is my own personal view, is because he chose to do that to somebody that he knew he could do that to. Mm.
So you're saying he couldn't have done it to Jamie Foxx? Or Tom Hanks?
Or The Rock?
Or The Rock?
You think
Rock?
He would have got up there? And that's why I don't have respect for people like that. Those are bullies.
But I think... regardless of who you put there in that situation, that person that he slapped couldn't react.
Right.
Because if they react, it's just like football. The second guy gets caught, right?
Right.
If Chris Rock reacts, then it becomes that Chris Rock reacted.
Aren't you impressed that he did not?
I am very impressed that he didn't do anything. Matter of fact, he just played it off. Yeah, he's a big man for that. But he had to. You could. There's no other thing for that he could have possibly done other than just take it.
How do you think Will and Jada are right now? Are they good or is it tense?
They got a weird relationship anyway.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But how do you think it is now? Because, okay, so the initial incident has died down. It's been talked about all around the world. So you're like, now what? She's banging Chris Rock. I don't think so. So, if you're her, you're thinking, okay, I don't want to be known for this. I don't want to be known. You know, everyone looked at her face, rolling her eyes, saying, okay, here we go with the hair jokes. But if he didn't go up there and defend her honor and cause this big incident, nobody remembers she rolled her eyes, and she can go back to her life, wonderful life, even without hair, as Mrs. Will Smith, as Jada Pinkett. I would imagine she's like, fuck, this is not good.
Did you read the article that Abdul-Jabbar wrote about it?
No.
Go read that article.
What was the crux of it?
The crux of it was that it was wrong for him to do it because it kept up the stereotype. Mm-hmm. Two, it made women look bad because it was like the old, well, I'm the man, I need to defend the woman. When she was perfectly capable of defending herself.
Right. And there was no physical attack. Capable of shrugging off a minor joke.
And that's what Abdul-Jabbar's whole piece was about.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good article. You should read it.
All right. I think she's hot with or without hair.
Right. Like,
I mean, I'd take it like the version with the hair, but without. And apparently they got drugs coming out that'll help fix that. It's Hollywood. You can wear a wig as well.
Yeah, that was just that was a major overreaction.
And then the other thing that really irritated me was the speech. Come on with the acting and the crying and, I shouldn't have. I was just defending, acting like the character I played. Man, go on with that. Nobody was buying that.
But how do you slap someone and then you get a standing ovation, you give a speech, and then you get the biggest award of the award show.
And then you go party afterwards.
Right.
Singing your own songs. And then a week later, you're resigning from the Academy.
Right.
And he's having projects dropped that he's associated with.
But he's Will Smith. Like, I mean.
Personally, I don't think much less of Will Smith because I look at him as an actor. Like, I would say if there's a good movie coming out, he's in. Fuck it, I'm in.
Well, I have friends that strongly believe that was staged.
I don't strongly believe it, but I'm going to hold back 20%.
Well, because...
that it might have been partially set up.
All of a sudden, Chris Rock's shows are
selling out.
They're selling out.
Oh, they
By three times more tickets per show than he was selling before.
See, I think, Bao, that I think the joke, the reaction, and the confrontation may have been set up. The slap might have been the part where it's like, whoa. We didn't agree to that. what do you have? Bro, do you just see what I'm saying? That they might have said, look, to put a little bit of a juice into the ceremony, I'm going to tell a joke, you're going to get all pissed, and you're going to storm on stage, we're going to go nose to nose, security's going to have to come in like it's Springer, and it'll be a big incident.
Right.
And once Will Smith got up there, he's like, fuck it.
Because without the slap, are we talking about that, the Oscars?
No.
Nobody's talking about it.
Well, the only problem I have with that conspiracy theory is that did you see the unedited version when he was sitting down and he said, keep my fucking wife's, and he did not look happy when he was saying
No, but he's an actor.
He's an actor.
That wasn't
Thank
acting.
You. Thank you,
I don't
pal.
Think that was acting.
You wouldn't know
he
acting. You wouldn't
angry.
Know acting from real.
He's
one of the best actors in the world.
He's a world-class actor.
I knew that damn speech that he gave was acting, and the crying, that was full of shit. Well, I knew that was acting.
Okay, well, then every part of it could have been acting. See, you're proving my point for me.
You're proving this point. Like, that whole thing could have been staged.
Maybe.
All right, the mission for the summer is to get Baoju out of the house, out of daycare, out of diaper duty, out of daddy duty,
and
on the golf course. Can we do that?
We can do it. I'm there.
All right, man. It was nice to meet you. Glad that another former Chantilly Warrior.
Charger.
Yeah. State champion.
State champion. Right. Yes, Chantilly Charger, high school player. Did great at Penn State. Played for the Packers. Played for the Chargers. Can come out tonight. Hatch, can you increase your reps at the gym? Bow would like that.
Just by doing one.
I work out hard at the gym. I don't know what he's talking about.
After this 10,000 calorie meal, we all
right.
need to work out.
I might run home.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Our thanks to DC Prime Steakhouse in Ashburn, Virginia. I'd say no cows were harmed in the taping of tonight's episode, but I'm afraid a few of them didn't make it. If you want to experience the absolute finest in dining, whether it's steaks or seafood, book your reservation today at dcprimesteaks.com. Tell them you heard it right here on the Zabecast and ask for Rick Crow.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.